Hello, and welcome to Practical Significance, a podcast to inspire listeners with compelling stories from statistics and data science and to propel data-driven careers forward. Here are your hosts, the ASA's Associate Executive Director, Donna Lalonde, and Executive Director, Ron Wasserstein.
Well, welcome everyone to the December edition of Practical Significance. We have the tradition of having a great conversation with our retiring board members. So this is a bit bittersweet for Ron and I because we will miss these folks next year, but we're delighted to have the opportunity to talk with four retiring board members. And so we have with us the international representative to the board. We have a vice president for government. We have a past president and a council of chapters representative. And so this is going to be a great podcast, lots of interesting conversations to be had. So we will start by asking folks to introduce themselves. And Ingrid, as the international representative to the board, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Donna. So I'm Ingrid van Kerlegom, and I'm a professor of statistics at KU Leuven in Belgium. And I have had the pleasure to be the international representative for the last 3 years in the ASA board.
And Jenny, we'll turn it over to you.
Hi, I am Jenny Thompson. I recently retired from a position as the lead mathematical statistician in the Economic Directorate of the Census Bureau. I worked at the Census Bureau since 1989, and I am the outgoing or senior vice president of the ASA.
Well, continuing with the introductions, Melinda, the outgoing Council of Chapters representative, will turn it over to you to tell us a little bit about your day job and your role on the board.
Thank you, Donna. In my day job, I am dean for the College of Science and Engineering Technology at Sam Houston State University in Texas. And my role on the board as Council of Chapters representative is primarily to work with the Chapter Status Committee so that we help chapters stay active and find resources for them.
Great. And Bonnie, we'll go to you. Day job and role as president-elect, president, and past president.
Thank you, Donna. And so my day job, I'm a statistician working in public policy, which entails interdisciplinary research. I work on large teams with mental health experts, MDs, sometimes physicists, and other colleagues. And I work on problems like homelessness, housing shortage, severe mental illness, HIV adherence to medications, and a range of problems related to public health primarily. And in my role at ASA, it's been the honor of a lifetime to serve the three-year term as president-elect, president, and past president. My role, I think, was to lead the board of directors in their stimulating conversations, help set the agenda, weigh in on issues that surround our profession and as well as our organization today. And this year, I'm the outgoing past president, in which I've served as lead of the awards council, which is helping sort of navigate all of the awards that the ASA confers upon our members.
Thanks for that. I'm always interested about the answers to this question, but what did you learn about the ASA from serving on the board? And Jenny, we'll turn it over to you.
You know, the most interesting thing that I learned about the ASA is not very much about the ASA, but is about the ASA governance. When I served on sections or on the Council of Sections, there were very established hierarchies. So you had a president or a chair and a vice chair. And the role of the vice chair was very much to help the president achieve his or her agenda. That is not the role of the vice president on the ASA board. We have our own agenda and we chair our own committees. And so that was a bit of a surprise to me, and not a bad surprise, but just a surprise. And in a lot of ways, it's very logical because it explains why you can independently elect a vice president and a president and expect something cohesive.
Thanks for that. And Ingrid, we'll go to you.
Yeah, my experience was that ASA is a big organization. I actually didn't realize before starting to serve on the board how big it is and how involved it is in a wide spectrum of statistics, not only within the US, but also outside of the US. Maybe it's because I'm the international representative, so I tend to compare with how this is done in Europe or in Belgium. And there, of course, the organizations are much smaller. Not only that, I also had the feeling that ASA is very organized, transparent, and everyone feels at home. So it's always felt to me like a big family, where indeed there is a lot of structure, as Jenny said, but to me it always felt as being very efficient and really very professional.
So thanks for that very much. Jenny, you look like you have something you'd like to add.
I did want to add to that because I really liked Ingrid's answer. One of the things that really struck me when I joined the board was how very different the sections were from each other and how small my perspective was on the size of the ASA and the diversity of the different sections and the interests in statistics. I've worked entirely in my career in survey research methods, which is a small, incestuous group of people compared to, say, biopharm. So that was very interesting to me. And one of the things that really struck me about that was in survey research methods, we all know each other, either in person or by reputation. After you've spent a certain amount of time, that's not necessarily true for the other sections. And the way that they get to know each other is through the ASA.
Bonnie, what did you learn about the ASA from serving on the board?
So the one thing I truly began to appreciate during my time on the board is how many initiatives and activities are ongoing within the American Statistical Association at any given time. It's simply phenomenal or mind-blowing. I think you all should count that up for a year at some point just for fun. It's going to be a very large number. And that's truly impressive given, you know, that it's a reasonable but not a large staff. So that really amazed me how much I got to learn about the initiatives. Another thing I observed, especially when I was making committee appointments, is that members really value their society, that is the ASA, and are ready to step up to serve their professional society. So if you invite them to serve on a committee, weigh in on an article, help you practice a speech, they are there for you. So this idea of community and being ready to step up to the plate was just inspirational and amazing. And finally, I know that when you say ASA, Donna, you're really referring to this amazing community of smart, talented people who value science and critical thinking. So that idea or notion was really reinforced when I became part of the board, and I'm very proud to be part of such a talented and inspirational community.
That's great. And Melinda, what did you learn?
So I learned how much I did not know. I've been a member of the ASA, I think about 34 years, and I think I've been active on some level almost that whole time. And I was shocked by what I did not know, the depth and the breadth. But I want to piggyback on something that Bonnie said, and that was I had underestimated the community. Even though the ASA provided me with community, I've underestimated what it does provide individuals and small groups in addition to the larger association.
So thank you. You spent a lot of time over the past 3 years doing board things for board meetings and in between board meetings as well. And so undoubtedly, there are some things that you will have some more time to spend on in the coming days. So what are some activities or projects that you're looking forward to working on after leaving the board? And Ingrid, let's start with you.
Well, one of the things that I'm most interested in is everything related to publications. And that's one of the big pillars of ASA. So I would love to be involved or continue being involved in journals as AE or as editor, but also if there would be any committee that would think about changes that need to be done to journals or to the way in which we publish. And then I'm thinking, for instance, about open access or incentives to improve the refereeing process or whatever. Everything related to publications, I would be most interested in being involved in that. And then another thing which is close to my heart is membership, especially membership for non-US-based statisticians. What can we do to make it more attractive or to attract more statisticians to ASA that are not based in the US?
Ingrid, I'm sure we can accommodate those interests. Jenny, let's throw over to you.
Well, I am personally at a bit of a crossroads. As I mentioned, I retired in March 2025, And I'm really sort of trying to figure out what my path is as a statistician right now, or if there is, in fact, even a path forward for that. In terms of my interests, like Ingrid, I've been very, very much interested in publications for many years. I was an editor-in-chief of an ASA co-sponsored journal for a while, and I'm still an associate editor on the board of Journal of Official Statistics, although I don't review a lot of papers. I'm also the scientific secretary for the International Association of Survey Statisticians, which gives me some editorial roles as well. So I'm going to do that. I'm also on the task force for Jerry Mulroe's upcoming presidential initiative, Communities in Action. So I will definitely be involved that way. In terms of other projects, as I say, I'm really trying to figure out what I want to do. I would very much like to keep being a professional statistician in some capacity. It is one of my passions. On the other hand, I do have time now to do some things that I've put off for many years. So I just enrolled in a 200-hour yoga teacher training, planning to do that and starting in January. And after years and years of talking about it, I just signed up for pottery classes. I'm going to learn how to throw a pot on a wheel, or at least I'm going to try.
So, Melinda, what activities are you looking forward to when your board days are up?
So I just recently began to think about that, and I am really looking forward to finding a way to stay active in the new regional conferences. It does not have to be my region. I would like to be involved in each of those. And one of the things that I did learn about the association was the support of individual members and individual projects. So I'm looking forward to being on the new development committee, which will help fundraise for initiatives.
Bonnie, how about you?
To echo something Melinda said earlier, in my 3 years on the board, I really was humble with how much I did not know. And so now that I'm exiting the board or my term, I really know much more and I'm better prepared to serve on the board or within the organization because I've learned about the many parts of it. So two of my passions are still statistical communication and how to energize the early career scientists and statisticians. So depending on initiatives that I am sure will be ongoing in the future, I would really like to commit or invest in that. Apart from that, if you wanted to know what I plan to do outside of the ASA, I think I will have more time, although in my day job, I'm also head of the statistics group, and there's a lot of need for mentoring right now. People are feeling the pinch of cuts in federal funding and feeling a lot of anxiety. Apart from that, apart from something greater than myself, I think it'd be good to serve my local community again. I'd stopped for the last few years. For example, the impact of food stamps means that food banks really need to step it up. And my daughter and I used to serve the Samaritan House food pantry during COVID, and that could be really meaningful to go back and work with our local families in need. The other part, I live out on the West Coast in California. Homelessness is a really big problem, and my daughter just started working with a ministry that serves the homeless on the streets of San Diego. So I'm thinking the Bay Area has got to be an even bigger problem. So another problem to look into it. And finally, I've taken some really short but fun trips with my spouse. So that would be really nice to do some personal travel now that I won't be traveling to Alexandria to the headquarters as often. And I really need to go to India and France to see my sister's family and my extended family in India. So that reconnection with family, you know, and be able to spend a few weeks will be really amazing.
So all four of you have great plans going forward. And I heard each of you say that you, in various ways, that you want to continue to be involved with the ASA. We don't have it exactly in writing, but we have it in podcast. So that should probably count.
I don't know, Ron. I wrote it down. So I think we have it in writing. So I'll follow up with the next question. How has serving on the board affected your perspective of the profession? And Jenny, we'll turn it over to you.
Oh, that is a very difficult one. I have so much respect for the people on the board. And, you know, of course, I have so much respect for the challenges and the balancing acts that are being undertaken, and especially academia right now, but also in the private sector. On the other hand, I am very conflicted about these. This is not a good time for survey statisticians. The government is shut down. They're talking about not hiring people. My colleagues live in basically fear of putting out a revision, which is a standard practice in any survey. And it's difficult for me to sort of reconcile what I've learned with the board on advocating for them.
Thanks for that. It is definitely a challenging time, and we appreciate all of your work to date. Ingrid, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with what Jenny just said. So ASA is, of course, a free association, and we should be able to express ourselves in a free way. Let's hope that this is not going to put in danger for the next years, let's say. Something else that I would like to add is that as an international representative, again, maybe I look at the ASA from a different perspective. I have the feeling that ASA is doing so much more, even if you compare it with the size of the country, than, for instance, the Belgian Statistical Association. I looked up on Wikipedia, and in terms of population, the US is like a factor 30 larger. But still, it seems to me that ASA is involved in so many things. It has a bigger impact on the career of young people, for instance, than what the Belgian Association is able to do. And that's not at all a criticism on the Belgian Statistical Association, but it's just the way that it has been organized. So this is really something that I found quite impressive by working for 3 years on the board.
Melinda, I'm curious what you would add to what Ingrid and Jenny have said about what they've learned about the profession through board service.
So when I think about what I've learned about the profession, I would say depth to have broader perspective, but I think it's a depth. I've always felt that statistics was really the bridge from math that I consider the language of science to the science. And as I watch and learn what people are doing in a lot of statistical professions that I had not observed personally, I think that that is, it's more important than I even ever believed that it was. And so I think the absolute importance of statistics to every aspect of life, that just really hit home while I served on the board.
And Bonnie, what about your perspective on the profession?
So serving on the board, just to augment some of what my colleagues said, I agree with all of that. But serving on the board also gave us this unique access to this incredible group of individuals who sat around the table to talk about short-term and long-term priorities for our profession. And that really broadened my thinking to think big picture, macro about our profession. It's convinced me that statistical science and thinking are essential to problem solving today and tomorrow. The need is greater than ever. It has also made me appreciate that advocacy, lobbying, and representation is key for our field, as we are often working in the shadows. And there are competing fields that have, it seems like, a greater footprint, either by the size of their society and or with real world impact. So statistical ambassadors are needed. And I'd call out to anybody listening to this or our membership, please renew your membership or join the ASA today. We need a bigger footprint. We need to be active and present in society.
Thank you for those responses, and segues well into the next question, because as you're going off at our final board meeting, the new people are coming on and they will face some challenges. And we wanted to get your perspective on what the opportunities and challenges that you think these future boards will be facing. So, Jenny, what's on your mind on this?
This is a very difficult time, but I'm going to actually start with something that I see as positive and then segue to the challenges, because I think that we have to keep those in the front of our mind for a while. The positive thing is I really want to highlight the upcoming President's Initiative. And I don't want to downplay any of the June's initiatives either, but we are really looking at this communities in action, how to get local communities engaged with statisticians in a way that mutually benefits everybody in terms of making data-informed decisions. And by I mean everybody, I mean the statisticians in our association who are looking for opportunities to serve and make the lives in their communities better or help enrich them. And the people in our communities who could really benefit from working with someone with experience in data collection and or quantitative analysis. And having been very involved in many local communities, starting with the PTA boards that my children were on when they were in elementary school and my local temple, these things are important. And of course, there are town councils that I've visited. These things are important. There's just a lot of confusion right now. And a lot of people, I think, are very interested in quantifying or dispelling some of this confusion. And I think that there are a lot of people like myself who want to use their skills in other ways or want to see the impact of what they can do immediately in their community. And that's not always so easy when you're working on a long-term project at work or when you have issues with funding or when there are other forces that are sort of influencing what you can do. So I really want to send out warm fuzzies or a lot of applause for this idea, which I think is great. There are already lots of use cases and examples from members of the EASA that show how wonderful this kind of partnership can be. I don't really want to go into that, but I can if we need to. And I just am really excited about the opportunity for expanding that. And if that is a future board, great. I think we should be great to get all of the board, the Council of Chapters, the Council of Sections, literally everybody on the board could put their hands in this and really help make this thing happen. There are so many aspects from incentives to mentoring to developing materials that could really help this be a success and help make it sustainable, which is really, I think, my concern. It's not 1 year's initiative. I'd like to see this be part of the ASA mission. So that's an opportunity I see. The challenges are, let's be honest here, if you live in the United States, this is not a good time to be a statistician. And it's not going to be a good time to be a statistician for a long time. We have seen on the public side already this idea of nonpartisan interference being obliterated. I already mentioned my colleagues or my former colleagues are in terror of the statistics going the wrong way. And that is just the most appalling statement you could make. Somehow the messaging has to be out there and consistent that this is apolitical, that this is the only way a society can measure what is happening in both the social and economic fronts unobjectively, and that this is where the truth comes from. And I'm not sure how you're going to be able to continue doing that. I will also mention that this is not just a government statistics issue or public statistics issue. Open the paper and read what's going on with health statistics. It is terrifying. Somewhere out there, we need to have an understanding that statisticians are apolitical, impartial data stewards, and future boards are going to need to do that messaging, and they're going to need to do it in a way that reaches out to way beyond the American Statistical Association, but somehow affects people in this country and has a positive effect.
Thanks. Those are really important points. Ingrid, let's go to you.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Jenny said, and I was thinking whether I should say something about it, but I'm happy that Jenny did it already. But let me add maybe something completely different from that. One of the opportunities and challenges that I also see is the borders of what is now called statistics. So what is statistics? What is data science? What is AI? What is machine learning? Are there borders or is it all a bit of the same, and is it just a different angle from which you approach a problem? I think these are important questions to which the answers are probably not that easy. And maybe the ASA board should think about what kind of message they want to send out to statisticians or to the general public about what is statistics nowadays and what are the threats and the opportunities in this new world in which we live. I also see, and that's a bit a related topic, that when I teach students statistics, and especially the graduate students, they are more and more interested in data science and less in statistics, in the old-fashioned statistics, let's say. So yeah, also there is maybe a message that we should try to convene to them, but I don't know how, which says that statistics is still important and cannot be replaced by data science and AI.
I'm going to raise my hand again, because I really like what Ingrid said, and I think it's important to think one of the challenges that everybody is having is AI cheating? What is machine learning, and how can we use all these data that are out there? There are all these big data, all these organic data that we found that we don't really necessarily understand their origins or what populations they represent. And they may not represent the same population from month to month, but they're there and they're accessible and they are more timely than anything we could collect purposefully. How can we use those? And how do we make AI or machine learning a tool and not a master? I think those are things that the board is going to need to really think about because it's permeating everywhere. It permeated into academia, it's permeating into official statistics, and it's certainly permeating publications now.
So Bonnie, what are your thoughts about the opportunities and challenges that our future board members are going to face?
So this is a phenomenal period of technological innovation for society, right? That poses some challenges and poses a lot of opportunities. Talking about existential challenges in the very current moment is how to continue the federal statistical system, how to preserve federal statistics to help and nurture a democracy is something that's really important. So I think both the board as well as our society needs to provide all of the support, advocacy, and support really for this community. Another challenge that the board is working on, that the society is working and thinking about, is pipeline and workforce, both due to budget pressures, I think, in higher education system, lure of competing fields or statistical adjacent fields, data science, AI, will need to work really hard to recruit the best and brightest to our field. So that I see as an existential challenge. In terms of opportunity, there are tremendous opportunities to be productive, whether it be through AI, be it through digital technology. I think it provides an enormous opportunity to both amplify our voice and widen our scope and footprint.
Melinda, what are your thoughts?
So yet again, I think I'm saying I agree with Bonnie. So that is, I think that our opportunities and challenges are merged. They're one and the same thing. I think thankfully I've learned, when you ask me the perspective and things that I've learned from the board, I've learned that the association is both visionary and strategic. And that gives me great relief thinking about the future, because I do believe that we are at a critical point. The science is changing so very quickly with AI, and where some disciplines begin and end, those lines are not as clear. So our role in the progression of science, where we fit in that, our role will be very important. Our role in policymaking and public perception of information will be extraordinarily important.
That's great. So now let's take a trip down memory lane. I'm going to be asking each of you to share your favorite memory or a favorite memory from your time on the board. Okay, Ingrid, let's start with you.
Thanks, Ron. So I have many very enjoyable memories, of course. During the meetings and also during the breaks, it was always very nice to talk to other people and to learn about their experiences. The activity or the memory that I would like to mention is the social activities during the November meetings. And I had the pleasure, and it was a great pleasure, to participate in two such events. One was a show at the Kennedy Center, which I really enjoyed a lot. And the other one was an evening cruise on the Potomac, which I also found very pleasant. So, of course, the meetings were also very enjoyable, but I think the social events were really maybe the most pleasant things that I will remember.
Thanks. The social events are very much organized as an opportunity for the board to get to network, but also as a way to say thanks for all the great work that you do. Jenny, a favorite memory?
Wow, this is the hardest question you've asked me, because the one that comes to mind, I have two that come to mind, and they're both social, but not. The first is, before you actually join the board, you're invited to go to the November board meetings to observe. And I am not someone who by nature can sit still for long periods of time. And I made it through the first day. I wasn't quiet. That's probably not unexpected, but I was pretty good. But the second day, I looked at the incoming council of chapter rep, Melinda Holt, and I said, I can't stand this anymore. Do you want to go for a walk at lunch? And she said something on the level of, oh, thank goodness somebody else has said this. And the two of us walking around Alexandria in our fancy, fancy shoes. It was not the most painless experience, but we started the tradition of a lunchtime walk, at least one during the board meetings. And it's been a great opportunity to make a good friend and to hear about some of the issues that the chapters are facing and the issues that other parts of the country are facing in our profession. And as I want to circle back and say, we've made a really good friend. A similar memory also has to do with the Council of Chapter Representative. It was after a particularly long 2 days of ASA directors meetings at one of the JSM sessions. And I walked out and I admit to feeling a little or a lot shell-shocked. And I bumped into Alex Hanlon, who was also a Council of Chapters rep and is still very active in the ASA. And she looked equally shell-shocked. And I said to her, I don't know about you, but I could really use a drink. And she said along the same lines, oh my goodness, I can't believe nobody else felt that way. And we went to a rooftop bar and ended up hanging out until they pretty much said happy hour is over. And that cemented another friendship and collaboration. And I've worked with Alex since on some of her initiatives for helping students who identify as female be in the STEM. So that's nice as well.
So Melinda, now we're going to go to you about your favorite memories of being on the board.
So my favorite memories are Jenny's favorite memories. When I joined the board, I imagined a long to-do list, and I like to think that I'm efficient and effective and I can support my colleagues. But after a challenging meeting, it is fun to just be friends. And I've built fabulous relationships. In fact, there was not too long ago that I was having a hard day at my day job. And I did call Jenny and we put in earbuds and walked and talked and solved problems. So building the relationships, absolutely. With Bonnie, Jenny, everyone, it's been great.
Bonnie, what are your happy memories as you think back over your board experience?
I can truly say I've enjoyed it all, both the growth and opportunity. I just want to take a second to say, I really, really consider this the honor of a lifetime. Thank you, Donna and Ron, for your partnership. We've become close friends and your mentors to me. I've learned a lot from you. So I just want to take a second to say that personal thank you, because this position, even though you tell me that it was not a leap, it was really a leap for me to go from being an everyday statistician to becoming a president-elect of a society, was a bigger challenge than I'd ever taken on. So thank you for the mentorship. So I want to say, like, as far as being on the board, apart from the to-dos, I underappreciated, like Melinda, that, gosh, this would be such a great group of colleagues to meet and network with and learn from. So the stimulating conversations around the board meetings, sometimes multiple perspectives coming to convergence, the dinners, the side events, they were all great. The one thing that was reinforced and is really like amazing part of being on the board is that you surround yourself with excellence, right? And you grow from it and you come to like really thoughtful sort of discussions and decisions and you are proud to be part of it. If I had to pick a specific memory, it's like feeling like a kid again when I met Nan Laird during a November board meeting. She's a hero of mine. Her groundbreaking methodological work has allowed me to succeed as an applied statistician because I work a lot with longitudinal data sets now in my studies. So meeting Nan Laird, seeing how amazing she is in person, you know, the way she communicates, the way she thinks, how grounded and humble she is. So that was really inspirational for me.
We've heard some great memories from everyone. I have to also share that one of my favorite memories from JSM 2024 was getting to tour Portland with Ingrid on a run. So the social works as well. So we have some traditions and we want to have you participate in this tradition, which is to share what you're listening to, reading, watching, all of the above. So what's on your TBR? And Jenny, we'll start with you.
I just finished this book called The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. I don't know if anybody's read it. It's been highly featured in a lot of high school curricula. It's about a young girl in Nazi Germany who survives. She lives with her foster parents and she's a book thief, and it's narrated by death. That's not a surprise. It introduced in the first chapter. So I just finished that. I joined a book group recently and we're going to discuss it. it was an interesting experience because I am 100% positive that I read it before, but I could remember nothing of the book but the narrator. And having reread it, I think it's pretty unforgettable. And I recommend it to anybody who wants to read something that will make you think in ways that maybe you don't want to and will haunt you, but will also, I think, in ways uplift you. In terms of watching TV, I'm very excited. Season 4 of Dark Winds just showed up on Netflix. It's based on Tony Hillerman, who writes amazing murder mysteries about a Native American sheriff. And they are just absolutely wonderful. So that'll be the next thing on my watch list. And of course, Bake Off, because who doesn't like Bake Off?
Dark Winds is fantastic. And I am a Tony Hillerman fan as well. So can't wait to see what Jim Chi is up to next.
Really captures the books, I think.
Absolutely. Ingrid, what are you reading, watching, listening to? All of the above.
I'm actually reading a book in French for the moment. It's called L'Adversaire, and it also exists in English. And there it's called The Adversary, A True Story of Monstrous Deception. I don't know whether it's a known book, but it's an interesting one because it's a non-fiction book. And it's about a person who pretends to be a medical doctor, but in fact he's not. And so his whole life, he has been pretending to be a medical doctor, until he reaches a point where he can no longer continue living in that fictitious world where he is actually not a medical doctor. And so at the end, he decides to kill his whole family and himself because he reaches a point where there is no way out anymore. And it's a true story. And so I'm reading about that right now.
Bonnie, what are you going to add to my reading, watching, listening to list?
So, Donna, I'll probably mention something that you've read already, but I just got myself a copy of Statistics Behind the Headlines. One of my passions and goals were to, during my time on the board, was to engage in statistical communication. That time's coming to a close, and I've likely not engaged as much as I'd like to, but there's this beautiful book, Statistics Behind the Headlines, by John Baylor and Rosemary Pennington, who do Stats and Stories, your podcast, our ASA podcast. So I'm looking forward to digging into that and getting their narrative or perspective on what makes for effective statistical communication.
And just so y'all know, Melinda, in case you want to put your earbuds in and Jenny's not available, John and Rosemary recorded the audiobook so you could listen to John and Rosemary's.
I was writing that down.
Absolutely available. But what else is on your reading, watching, listening to, all of the above list, Melinda?
So when I think of how pleasant it actually was to work with all of the members of the board and how appreciated I felt, which in turn made me want to work more, I actually have a copy of The 5 Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. So that's one. The other is I'm watching The Diplomat. So that's not a professional, but that's how I'm spending my time.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, thanks, everyone. This has just been a fantastic conversation, and we've certainly enjoyed talking and reminiscing with the four of you. And we look forward, even though you're leaving the board, we look forward to many more opportunities to do that. We will end as we have ended, as my colleague just told me, as we've ended 59 episodes previously, we will end our 60th episode with Ron's top 10. So I'll turn it over to my colleague, Ron.
Thank you, Donna. Well, somehow the holidays have rolled around again. If you have followed the Practical Significance podcast, then you know that we are always trying to help our listeners navigate the intricacies of life. One of those is the Office White Elephant Gift Exchange. For those not familiar with this concept, it is a holiday tradition where participants bring wrapped gifts of dubious value, then take turns either selecting a yet unwrapped gift or stealing a previously open one from a colleague. It is the perfect game for a statistician who understands game theory, but not the emotional consequences of their choices. Okay, so to help you in this venture, we bring you the top 10 ideas for gifts to bring to the statistics department White Elephant Gift Exchange. Number 10, a throw pillow embroidered with "The assumptions are probably fine." Number 9, a calendar where every even-numbered day is labeled grant proposal due and every other day is labeled deadline for revisions. Number 8, a tip jar labeled support basic research. Sorry, that humor is probably too dark. Number 7, socks with p-values greater than 0.05 printed all over them. That way you can at least say those p-values were good for something. Number 6, a box of poker chips labeled reasoning tokens. Number 5, a red rubber stamp that says needs more covariates. Number 4, a t-shirt that says bias corrected on the front. Better still, a pair of t-shirts that both say we were matched by propensity score. Number 2, a magic 8-ball where the response to every question is your sample size is too small. And the number 1 gift for the Statistics Department White Elephant Gift Exchange, a used copy of Excel for Dummies. Well, that's it for this episode of Practical Significance. And that's it for another year of Practical Significance. But we look forward to continuing the conversation in the year 2026. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Practical Significance, the podcast of the American Statistical Association. A new episode will be coming your way next month from AMSTAT News, the ASA's monthly membership magazine.